That's okay. I don't need this thing anyways. All right. Good morning, everybody. Moments. So welcome to Sunday school. Now, if I don't do something in the way that you're used to, sorry. We'll work all out, all the little details and everything later on. But I appreciate everybody being here for the Sunday school class. I know that the church reached out to the most well-educated person they could find and asked him to come and preach, but he turned them down. The church reached out to the best looking preacher they could find, and he turned them down. They reached out to the best preacher they could find, and he turned them down. Finally, they reached out to me, and I said, okay, I can't say no a fourth time. So, but I'm Tony Kearns. This is my beautiful blushing bride. And you'll get a chance to meet her if you haven't already. We are from Holiday, Florida. It's in the Tampa Bay area. My house is 950 feet from the Gulf of Mexico. I only know that because I looked it up. I mapped it out in the Google Earth one day. And I was born and raised in Florida. I have been blessed to live all over, mainly around the east coast of the U.S., both in time that I've been pastoring and time whenever I was in the U.S. Army. So I've been here to Louisiana previously, but this is my wife's first opportunity. So we've had a great opportunity to come out here and put on several pounds from beignets. And, we were like, oh, maybe we should get beignets to bring for the potluck dinner last night. And I'm like, the beignets, they have to be fresh. And I think if you try moving them, all the powdered sugar falls off of them. So maybe at some point we'll just have to rent a bus and drive everybody down to Cafe Du Monde, and we'll do a special Sunday morning Sunday school down there and have, just take up the whole place with beignets. So, all right, thank you for being here. Our Sunday school class today, I always like to say I like to teach expositionally, meaning I like to say, hey, let's tackle the book of Romans. Let's tackle the book of John. Let's tackle something like that. But there's times, though, to say, hey, we're going to do something topical. And today, we are in the Christmas season, and so I've got a little bit of a Christmas quiz to see how well everybody does. But before we get started, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are here today wanting to learn your word, wanting to learn about you, wanting to grow closer to their God. Father, I thank you for the opportunity for Christy and I to be here, to be able to meet with our brothers and sisters. I thank you for allowing me this opportunity to be able to share from your word. We just pray that your spirit will just guide us, enlighten us, help us to understand the scriptures, and help us to find ways to apply it in our very lives. And Father, we pray all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I want to start off here with a little video about the Christmas story from the eyes of children.
An angel came to see Mary.
She was doing laundry. And then the angel just appeared and she was really scared.
So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, I can't say it good. Mary, you're going to have a baby.
you're going to have a baby. You will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel. She said, this donkey's fast. They tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel was singing,
glorious. And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold, Franken, Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
A little bit of silliness hit there, but it helps us with our subject for today. How well do you actually know the Christmas story? Okay, I love that, asking children about the Christmas story as they recount it. Now, we're going to, my first Sunday here, within the first few minutes, I'm going to give you a quiz. Well, okay, on to the next candidate. But I want to see how well you can do. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask anyone to share. Well, let's start off and turn in our Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. And yes, I do try to always make sure if I ask you to turn somewhere that I give you time to do it. Not one of those people, okay, now let's turn, okay, now let's immediately turn to, now let's immediately, and you're still back trying to find the first passage. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul is writing to his disciple Timothy, and he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As Christians, what we believe has to be based on the scriptures. I really believe one of the biggest challenges that we face is separating what the Bible teaches from what our culture teaches. Our culture, and even our Christian culture, will tell us things that are not necessarily what the Bible has to say. So we need to make sure that we are saying, what does the Bible really say? It goes on in the next verse in 2 Timothy to say, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. How many of us have seen people teaching things that are not in the Bible? not even remotely in the Bible. It's like, where did you come up with that idea? Well, somebody came up with the idea and somebody else liked it and it just spread like wildfire. But we have to make sure we go to what the Bible says. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, if you want to turn there quickly, Acts chapter 17. It's describing Paul's missionary journeys. And I like what he says here about the people in this town called Berea. In Acts chapter 7, and you'll notice I do try to put all the scriptures up on the screen, and I even tell you which translation it's from, so if you're like, wait a minute, mine's a little bit different, okay, that's so you understand why it might be phrased a little bit differently. But in Acts 17, 10 through 11, it says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These, the people in Berea, in the synagogue, were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. I can come up here and I can tell you anything I want. Okay, trust me, I was in sales for a while, and I'm really good at it. I can convince you of something if I want to, okay? I always say I try to use my powers for good, not for evil. But, you know, I could come up here if I wanted to, and I could say something, and I'm not exaggerating, I can convince you of something that really isn't true. Even if I'm saying it, or just because I'm standing up here behind this pulpit, you need to challenge. You need to look and say, is that really what the Bible says? Because, hey, I've had things that I've learned later on I was incorrect on, okay? I'm not going to lie and say I've understood everything correctly from the get-go. I'm always learning and growing, and I like to think I'm man enough that I'll stand up and say, oh, you know what? Hey, I was studying this, and I realized that this really means this instead of the way I've been sharing it before. But you need to be ready and willing to study the scriptures yourself as a Brian Tower. And that's one thing that I've seen as being so wonderful. Every contact I've had with people from your church has shown me that your pastor did an amazing job of teaching you the Word of God, laying a firm foundation, making sure that you were people who were doing that, who were going through the Word yourself to learn. Well, let's see if any error might have crept in here. Not his fault. How well do you know the Christmas story? A Christmas quiz. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and share your answers. But you all have a little card, a little piece of paper. You can make a tiny little note maybe on one side there. Just write down your answer. Now, once you write down your answer, do not go back and change it because some questions might tell you answers. For question number one, which angel appeared to Joseph? Michael? Gabriel? Lo? Or the Bible doesn't say? Question number two, how did Mary get to Bethlehem? How did Mary get to Bethlehem? Question number three, how many kings came to see Jesus when he was born? How many kings came to see Jesus when he was born? Oops, typo, my bad, sorry. Question number four, true, false. The wise men arrived to see Jesus in the manger the night he was born. True, false. Question number five, true, false. Mary gave birth as soon as they arrived in Bethlehem. True, false. Question six, what are the names of the wise men? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Melchior, Gaspar, and Balthazar. Or the Bible doesn't say.
And while you're thinking of your answer for that, I'll teach you guys a little trick here. If you're ever reading the Bible in front of people and you have names from the Bible to pronounce and you don't know how to pronounce them, neither does anyone else. Okay? Just take a good guess and keep running, and no one's going to know. Even if somebody thinks, I always thought that it was pronounced, nobody's going to know if you're, So just take a guess at it and, just keep going. Don't worry about, making sure you have the pronunciation correctly. Okay, question number 7. The wise men found Jesus in a manger, in the temple, or in a house? Question number 8, true, false. The wise men follow the star directly to the manger in Bethlehem. True, false. And then our last question, what did the angels sing to the shepherds? Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to God in the highest, or the Bible doesn't say. 9 simple questions. We just saw a little kids' video. Saw their take on it. I love the way they have the adults mimicking the voice pattern of the children whenever they're doing that. All right, let's see how well everybody did. Question 1, which angel appeared to Joseph? Michael, Gabriel, Mo, or the Bible doesn't say? The Bible doesn't say. Matthew 1:20 says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And my personal little inside joke, I mentioned Michael and Gabriel, everyone knows them. And then Lo is from Luke 2:9. It says, and Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. That's a Chinese angel. They don't get much better, So the Bible doesn't say. How did Mary get to Bethlehem? The Bible doesn't say. No, I didn't say why. That's a good thought, but now the question is how? The Bible doesn't say. Luke 2:4-5 says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. It doesn't say anything about riding on a donkey, riding on a camel, riding on, on a horse, in a wagon. It doesn't say anything. It just says that they went there. And yet, how many of you, have pictures at home, for Christmas or Christmas cards or something, has Mary riding on the donkey? I mean, hopefully she didn't have to walk that whole way, but the Bible doesn't say. Question number 3. How many kings came to see Jesus when he was born? Let's see. The Bible doesn't say. Do you see a pattern? The Bible doesn't say. Matthew 2:1 says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, anybody want to hazard a guess? Why do we think that they were kings? I know, I do like audience participation sometimes. Come on. Why do we say, pardon? Because of the song. We three kings of Orient are. Okay. It doesn't take. We wise men from Orient. Okay. It's, so we assume that it's right. You get maybe a point I'm trying to get across here? Okay. We all know the Christmas story. But do we know what the Bible says, the Christmas story? The Bible says that wise men. Now, in the Greek, it uses the term magi. Magi is one of those things that's really difficult to explain. Sometimes it can be really hard to take a word from 2,000, 3,000 years ago and try to understand it exactly in our language. Wise men's a good answer. Magi would refer to people who are a combination, perhaps, of astronomers, in that they study the stars in the sky, and astrologers, in that they believe that this the stars
influence our life, which we know is not biblical, but they were scientists in their day, if you will. But they were not kings. They were just just wise men. Question 4, true, false. The wise men arrived to see Jesus in the manger the night he was born. How many of you have a crush scene or a manger scene at home for Christmas? Okay. And you have the little wise men there kneeling down beside the baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. Note, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, where it's in Matthew 2, is talking to us about the visit of the wise men. It says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. So when they arrived, they did not find this baby Jesus in a manger. So they were not there that night. And guess what? What does it say here? It says that they found the young child. Now, in the Greek language, there is one word for a baby. There's another word for an infant or a young child. Well, guess which word is used here? It's the word for infant. So when they arrived, Jesus was over a year old. Okay, and here's what I do, is whenever I set up my manger scene, if it has the wise men, I put them like on the other side of the room, and I just tell everyone it took them quite a long time to be able to get down the furniture and get over there and everything. So, you know, you have to work around these things. All right, question number 5, true or false. Mary gave birth as soon as they arrived in Bethlehem. We all know she's like coming into town. Oh, Joseph, it's any moment now. False. In Luke chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So the way I'm reading this is it's not that she walked into town and that night, boom. They arrived in Bethlehem. They were there, someone was saying, they were there for the census. You know, Serenius, Caesar had ruled. Everyone had to go back to their hometown. This was when Serenius was governor. And they go back there, and they've got to get in line, they've got to fill out paperwork, they have to pay their tax. While they were there for this few days, that's when she gave birth. But how do we see it in all the Christmas plays? She's, you know, you are now entering Bethlehem. Joseph, right now, we got to get this baby out. Question number 6, what are the names of the wise men? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Melchior, Gaspar, and Belshazzar, or the Bible doesn't say. Once again, the Bible doesn't say. Now, first of all, Bible quiz, who knows, who are those first three people that are mentioned here? Oh, very good. Because that's always a pet peeve of mine, is Daniel, we call him by his Hebrew name. But then we refer to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were the names that they were given. And I've never understood why we do that, okay? We don't refer to, you know, Daniel by his, you know, Babylonian name, but we do for Shadrach and Abednego. These are their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Melchior, Gaspar, and Belshazzar. If you look at sheet music for We Three Kings, there's three solo parts, and the guy who wrote the song originally put those names in there for the names, you know, for the people to go with them. But again, there was no biblical research. He did not come across some big piece of hidden history that we didn't know about. He just made them up.
All right.
Question number 7. The wise men found Jesus. Now, I've already given you the answer to this one. In a manger, in the temple, or in a house? He was found in a house. Because remember what the scripture says in Matthew 2:11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. All right, question number 8, true, false. The wise men followed the star directly to the manger in Bethlehem. Now again, some of these answers have already, told you the answer. So that's why I said, don't go changing your answers. Okay, what does the Bible tell us here? And it's false because in Matthew 2, 1 and 2 it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." So they have followed this star to Jerusalem. Because I've always found this to be like one of the world's best examples of either foolishness or chutzpah. These wise men with their entourage, that wasn't just these, you know, a couple of guys, you know, bebopping through the desert, but this whole entourage, because they would have had soldiers for protection, they would have had servants carrying food and supplies, people to take care of the animals and everything. So it's a pretty good group of people. Everyone's like, hey, look at all, who are all those people coming over here? They go in there and they go to Herod and they say, hey, where is the King of the Jews? You're looking at him? No, we mean the other King of the Jews. That generally is not going to go over too well with people. And so we know, what did he do? He had his people come together. They pulled out the scriptures. What did they tell him? They told Herod, it says here that he's going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Oh, it's a couple miles outside of town. Herod, being the sneaky sort, tells him, okay, go ahead and leave town. Go over there, find him. Once you've found him, come back to where I'm at and let me know, so that I can come and worship him too. Wink, wink to the guards. Now, the Bible tells us that whenever they left, God warned them not to do that. And it says that the star went before them and led them to where Jesus was. Because remember, he was no longer in the manger. He was now an infant. He was in a house. So, didn't get that one correct. Our last question, question number 9. What did the angels sing to the shepherds? Hark the herald angels sing, glory to God in the highest, the Bible doesn't say. Well, if you figured out the pattern, the Bible doesn't say. Now, this is a sneaky one, but I love the Word of God. I was doing some weird math in my head the other day, and I ran the numbers and I figured that, okay, if this was what I do right now, I'm retired, but just what I do right now with my own personal time in the Bible, or going to Bible studies, teaching, answering questions online, things like that, I put about 17 or 18 full 40-hour weeks a year into the Word of God. And I love it because you can never know all of the Word of God. That's something I love so, so very much. I am a firm believer in Bible fairies. Why is this guy up there? No, Bible fairies are what I jokingly refer to as. I love to read through the Bible. A good friend of mine was talking to him, and he was saying how he reads through the Bible every year. And I like that. I'm going to take that as a challenge. So I usually read through the Bible about 8 to 10 months and then start over again. But it's amazing to me that every time I read through the Bible, I find something that wasn't there before. It was. But maybe I just glossed over it at that point in time, and all of a sudden now the Lord's bringing something to my attention. Maybe it's something that's really speaking to my heart in a different way right now. Or maybe it's just something where something else that I've learned has helped me to understand the importance of this. Okay? So, I love the Word of God, but we have to be so mindful to look and say, what does the Bible teach? Am I believing what the Bible says, or am I believing what the I was going to say Hallmark movies, but we won't go there. But what Hallmark cards and Christmas pageants and all the little Christmas shows that we watch tell us, and they're beautiful and it's wonderful, and the little all the animals are able to talk when Jesus is born, and the star is right there above, the manger where they're at, the baby Jesus. And it makes for a wonderful, wonderful story. But it's not what the Bible really says. It's because in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Now, you're like, well, wait a minute, Tony, what about... No, we can look at what at the Bible there in the Greek. And nope, you cannot try to spin that to make that into singing. Or they were speaking with a melodious tone. No, they weren't. They were just saying it, okay? We know from the book of Revelation, it talks about, you know, people standing around the throne of God and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who is, was, and is to come," and things like that. But that night, no, we did not have the angelic choir. Excuse me. Oh, hey, you're a little flat there. Let's work on that. No, going, oh, no, that's not what was going on. Okay, yeah, the angel comes down and speaks, and then the rest of the angels are with him. Now, I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hand if they got all of them correct. I'm going to assume everybody missed a couple of them. And that's fine, okay? There was a time when I would have been like, hey, I didn't know that. And that's just the point that I really, you know, wanted to make today. Again, I go into some churches and they're just like, they're so biblically literate. They don't have the first clue, okay? I love it when I see people come walking in, you know, with their Bible, okay? Yeah, I love that. And I know a lot of times people today are switching over to using apps. I have a couple of Bible apps that I use on my phone, and I love them. But this is my newest Bible. This is what I refer to as my coloring Bible. Because I just got into this idea of saying, hey, I'm going to go through and I'm going to use different colors so that every time I see the word Yahweh, I'm going to highlight that in a certain color. Or every time I see God literally speaking, God speaking in every word of the Bible, but where it's actually, and God said, and highlight that. And if I see things talking about the temple, I highlight that in a different color. And I love it because as I'm reading through, it helps things to leap off the page and helps me to be immediately drawn to that. But I love it when I see people that come in carrying their Bible. I always say this is not a textbook. This is a workbook. Okay? Now, for some of us, like me, it's been quite a while since we were in high school. But if you remember in high school, you may have gotten a workbook and a textbook. Well, the textbook, they'd say, okay, you're going to have to turn that in at the end of the semester. And if it's marked up, your parents are going to have to pay for it. So if you're writing little hearts in there with your initials and your boyfriend or girlfriend's initials in there, they were going to make you pay for it or something. The workbook is for you to write in. That's what this is. You don't turn this in at the end of your life. Write in it. Draw in it. Underline. Put your own little comments in it. Do whatever you can because studies, how many teachers do I have in the room? I know I have a couple of them here. Okay, we've got a couple of teachers. All right. Yeah. You know, teachers will tell you that we learn, we only remember a certain portion of what we hear. We remember a larger portion of what we hear and see. We remember the largest portion of what we hear, see, and do. So writing stuff out, underlining stuff, putting notes is going to help you to be able to remember these things. And that's what I want to encourage everyone to do. To realize that sometimes even the simplest of things, things that we know so well, again, going back to that video of the children, I love that. That's the Christmas story. And yet, as we say, hey, what does God's word really specifically say? We found that there's a lot of mythology that has crept into it. And so we have to look at our beliefs sometimes and say, okay, are there things that I have heard from my parents, or I've heard, I've seen in a Christian movie, or I've heard from something that really are not what the Bible says? Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that can rightly divide the word of truth. That's what we are called to do. Santa, Rudolph, Frosty, and other Christmas stories are not found in the Bible. The animals being in the barn with Jesus, the wise men coming to kneel before Jesus beside the manger, the innkeeper turning Joseph and Mary away, and so many other things that we think of as part of Christmas are not scriptural. Yet we can use these differences to explain why Jesus was born and how he was born, not to belittle those who are confused, but to use it as an opportunity to teach them what the Bible says and to share the gospel of Christ. To share the gospel of Christ. But wait a minute, Tony. How did we go from you're pointing out that I really picked up a lot of bad info about Christmas to suddenly witnessing to people? Because the two are connected? Because I found one of the, you know, the most important thing to do when you're really trying to share the gospel with someone is you have to make a connection. You have to make a connection. You have to be able to start a conversation. Okay? My wife, you know, knows very well. I can converse with anybody about anything. And I love just to be able to talk to people and to learn about them and to have conversations. It's funny, her youngest sister recently was texting us, and she was saying that, oh yeah, Tony seems to always know a little something about everything. And I'm like, yeah, I got a little something tucked away there. But I love it because I can find something if I'm talking to someone to say, oh, hey, there's a, one of our, members in the back there used to live in Holiday, which is where Christy and I live at in Florida. I've got a fellow service member sitting over here. We can talk about our time in the military. I've got two teachers in here. I can talk about, my oldest daughter having, being a teacher specifically with special ed students. We can find something. Now, let me wrap this up in a little bow here. You might be able to find yourself talking to somebody at work. You'll be able to, maybe you're talking about Christmas and be able to say, hey, you know what? I was just, in church the other day, we were talking about this and I learned. The Bible says the wise men really, they weren't there the night that Jesus was born. What? Yeah, let me show you this real quick here. See, it says that when they got there, the first they had to go to Jerusalem. So unless they were really booking it, they were not going to be able to get to Jerusalem that very same night and see the baby there, okay? But it says that whenever they got there to where Jesus was, he was an infant. He was not a baby anymore. It's a very different word. In English, it'd be like somebody coming up to your five-year-old and saying, oh, what a cute little baby. That's not a baby, that's a child, okay? And we can, get someone's attention. And then, hey, you know what something else is neat that I learned? I used to always think that getting to heaven was based on what I did. I used to always think that, whenever I died, I was going to stand before God. He was going to put all my bad stuff on one side, my good stuff on the other side, and if it evened out, okay, he let me into heaven, or maybe if it was real close, he'd put his thumb on the scale and help me out a little bit. And I used to think that all the time until somebody sat down and shared with me what the Bible says, that we are not saved by anything we can do, but we're saved by what Christ has done for us. That was the gift of Christmas. God taking on flesh, born, grew up, went to the cross, paid for my sins, and now it offers me eternal life as a gift. What do you do on Christmas? You get gifts. Do you pay people for gifts? No. Do you say, wow, all that is perfect. Thank you so very much. I love it. Here, let me write out a check for that. Okay? No, you accept it as a gift. So this is an opportunity perhaps to maybe talk to one of your family members. Talk to one of your neighbors. Talk to a coworker. Start that conversation about, what I learned the other day? Hey, there's some stuff about Christmas. It's really neat, but it's not exactly what the Bible says. Share that and then say, hey, you know what else I learned? What I was always told about heaven, about how we get there, it's not what the Bible says. Can I share with you real quickly? So you can have that as an opportunity because Christmas is a wonderful time when people are open talking about spiritual things with other people. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Turn there for me, if you will, please. 1 Peter 3, 15. And I will say, if you're like I was when I first came to Christ, and you're like, where in the world is Peter?
While you weren't looking, while I had your attention up here, I had the elders go around and in the front of all of your Bibles, they put in a table of contents. Okay. Good job, guys. So if you're not, don't be embarrassed, okay? Yeah, I was there, you know, but if you're not, okay, just go over to that table of contents. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify or set apart as holy the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." And those last words are very, very important. I know when I was young and foolish, as compared to being older and still foolish, but when I was young and foolish, I could win a debate. I could quote scripture. I could quote facts. I could prove you wrong. And that doesn't do a thing to win people to Christ. Instead, though, we have to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks, "Why do you believe this?" But we have to be ready to do it with meekness and fear. So as you're talking to your neighbors, as you're talking to your coworkers, and you have that opportunity to talk to them about Christmas and to talk to them about Christ, the greatest Christmas gift of all, remember, we want to do it in a way that is loving. We want to build a relationship, and we want to build a bridge. Because you may talk to someone and share the gospel, and they may come to Christ. That's amazing. That's wonderful. Or, most likely, they won't right then. But you're planting a seed, or you're watering the seed. How many of you in this room came to Christ the very first time you ever heard the gospel? Yeah. Normally, we don't. I didn't. I heard the gospel over a period of time, and as I heard it and I had the scripture, I mean, God's Holy Spirit used that in my heart until finally I reached that point where I said, yeah, that makes sense. I realize I'm a sinner. I definitely can't. I need to be saved. I can't save myself. But Christ died for my sins, so yes, I'm going to believe in him for the gift of eternal life.
That's what we can be doing. That's the Christmas gift that we can share with our neighbors, okay? I want to thank everyone for being here. I want you to share for a few minutes. We're going to take a half an hour for some refreshments and break, and give everyone a chance to have some wonderful time of fellowship. Thank you all for being here. Let's just say thanks before we go over there. Just, Father, thank you again for this opportunity for us.